I wonder, how many of us got up this morning, got out of bed, and the first thing we thought is, yep, I'm going to sin today. Maybe we thought, how many sins am I going to commit today? How many people am I going to hurt today? Maybe I'll hit a new record. Is that what we think when we get out of bed in the morning? I suspect most of us aren't that intentional. Our sins are not quite that premeditated, all planned out ahead of time. The reality is, we all know that we are sinners. We are fallen human beings. We give in to the temptations that are before us. That's a fact of life. But there's another truth of our faith that we need to equally remember and hold on to, and do that with gratitude. And that is that by God's grace, we are forgiven too. These weeks of Lent are meant to be a reminder of both of these spiritual realities of our lives, our sin and our redemption. I read this quote and I rather quite liked it, so I wanted to make sure it got in somewhere. Temptation, seduction, betrayal. The basis of a good Hollywood movie. The basis of a good story of faith, too. And all three readings for this morning reflect on the reality of sin and what it means to be human and what it means to be redeemed as a people of faith, trusting in the grace and the love of God. Let's look at each of the three readings. That wonderful reading from Genesis. We know the story traditionally as the story of the fall of humankind, the temptation, the disobedience of human beings to what God asked of them because of how they used their gift of free will. From the story of creation, we know that God was very generous. God blessed his new creation. And human beings that God created were given much freedom to enjoy all of creation to its fullest. Except one thing. There were boundaries. But like children, and we know this, like children, their desire was to test those boundaries. Well, one of the things we often think about is, well, who was to blame? Who was to blame? And who usually gets blamed? The woman. It's usually Eve, isn't it? She was tempted. She gave in. And then what did she do? She tempted Adam. It's her fault. And women ever since have had to bear the brunt of that fallacy because it's not true. Others say, well, the serpent is to blame. The serpent initiated the seduction of these two. They were innocent. They were naive. He took advantage of them. But what exactly did the serpent do? The serpent simply presented an option to them. Sure, you can eat this piece of fruit if you want to. It's your choice. It was the human beings themselves who made the choice of what they would do. Both the man and the woman didn't speak up against the serpent's attempts to seduce them. There was a yearning in their heart. What they had that they could enjoy of creation wasn't enough. There was this one more thing that could be theirs. Does it really matter whose fault it was? The truth is, sin is a mysterious force. And it's already there in the human condition. It's built into our DNA. For all time, even unto our own day, God has blessed us with so much, and especially the gift of freedoms in our spirit. And if we were to use that freedom, and if we were to use those gifts in that God-like image in which we were created, imagine what could be done in our world. Imagine what God could do through us. But we continue to desire to test the boundaries and to test the limitations that God has placed on our human experience of life in this world. We sometimes want to rise above them. Our human tendency leads us to rebel against God who created us and God who blesses us. Because what God has given us as his creatures isn't enough. We need more. We want more. Which often leads us in the end to really desire to be like God ourselves in every way, as if that were possible. If we go on beyond our reading for this morning and read further into the story, the two human beings, they were held accountable. They had consequences. And you know what? By the rest of our readings and by our experience, we still live with those same realities and consequences today in our own experience of life. But, and it's a big but, we have been given the gift of something else by God too. And in fact, we have been given the gift of someone else as well. Because by God's grace, we have the gift of Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at Romans. Paul reminds those who he's writing to and us today, that we need to be able to recognize our sin. And as we recognize our sin, we need to admit to our falling short. And how do we do that? By naming it for what it is. Why do we sin? Sin is regrettable, but it's also unavoidable. It's part of who we are. It is our human condition. We are disobedient as Adam was disobedient. We are not as faithful to God who created us as Adam wasn't faithful to God who created him. But thankfully, Paul didn't leave it there in his writings. He didn't end with a conviction notice. He didn't end with a sentence of punishment. Things aren't hopeless. Because by grace and mercy of another human being, the so-called second Adam, we are given another chance. The gift of newness of life each and every day of our lives. Each day is a new day. Each hour is a new hour. Each minute is a new minute. Each second is a new second. And we are pardoned by God. We are forgiven by God. We are redeemed by God. We are saved by God from those things which we create ourselves. And we are restored into that right relationship with God that God created for us to have with him. The crux of Paul's message to Romans and to us is there in that last verse, and I want to quote it from Eugene Peterson's The Message because I like the way he turns the phrase. He says, "Here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person did it wrong and got us all in this trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into life. One man said no to God and put many people in the wrong. One man said yes to God and put many in the right." Yes, we are sinners for sure. But thankfully, God has made things right once and for all, again and again and again, because we are redeemed as well. And what a treasured gift that is for us to inherit. And then the Gospel of Matthew, so wonderfully told by Susan this morning. That temptation story of Jesus heading out into the wilderness. And we need to remember when this happens. He has just been baptized. He has just come up out of the water. The Holy Spirit has descended upon him, a dove, the voice that says, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And out of that experience, what happens? Jesus is driven into the wilderness, the parched desert, the barren, dry land. And he's there for 40 days. What a perfect opportunity for seduction and temptation. You know, if you just take this stone, it can become bread. You're hungry. Look at all the kingdoms of the world. I can give them to you. Look at the power you can have. God's divine Son, God's beloved Son, himself faces temptation with each offer that was extended, with each seduction, with each temptation. Jesus was in the exact same situation as Adam and Eve in the garden, invited to turn away from God, invited to turn away from trusting God. When I read the story again this year, as I have for many years, what I'm reminded of is that it's clear that this story is about Jesus, not about the temptations in and of themselves. Sure, they're important, but it is about Jesus and how he dealt with what he encountered in that desert wilderness, the temptation, the seduction. And there's something that we need to remember that we often, I think, put over to the side and don't remember quite as much. And that is, remember that Jesus was every bit a human being as you and I. He was fully human, even as much as he was fully divine. And as a fully human being, those temptations were real. The seduction to power was real. And as both divine and human, you can imagine that inner tension and struggle. Do I, don't I? Do I, don't I? The carrot that's held out waving in front of him. Look what you can have. It's all yours. Take it for yourself. You deserve it. But in each case, unlike Adam and Eve, and unlike you and I in our human condition, Jesus clung to his true identity. Jesus didn't let go of his trust in God. So what's the overall message on this first Sunday of Lent? Well, four things. First, we were created to be in a relationship with God. God created us to be in relationship. A right relationship. A faithful relationship. And God never breaks that faithfulness, ever. We do, but God doesn't. Second, yes, we have limitations which lead us astray. We naturally test the boundaries as any good child does growing up. We rebel. We want control. We want to make decisions for ourselves. But third, by God's grace and only by God's grace, we can remain firm and flourish through Christ and only through Christ, who is there in each and every one of us. Because like Jesus, at our baptisms and every day of our lives, we are reminded that we too are the beloved of God. We have been blessed with everything that we need and more, so that we can do what God invites us to do, and to be what God invites us to be, forgiven and redeemed, given another chance, and another chance, and sometimes, hopefully, we even get it right. And maybe sometimes we even get it faithfully, too. Fourthly, God allows us to make choices, even wrong choices. Choices that lead us to fall, and sometimes to fall very hard. God doesn't cushion the blow. But God does stand right there with us, and God reaches down his hand and pulls us up back onto our feet, ready to keep walking the journey of life, ready to be faithful in the journey of faith that we are called to and that we have said yes to through our baptisms. Martin Luther, when he felt oppressed by his conscience and was plagued by doubt and fear and insecurity, and for that matter, sin, he would sometimes shout out in defiance, echoing Jesus' words from today, "Away with you, Satan, I'm baptized." Maybe that needs to be our response too. We need to remember the promise inscribed on our foreheads at our baptisms, that God has declared us worthy of love, dignity, respect, that God has pledged to be with us, that God has pledged to be for us all the days of our lives. I came upon this quote that I quite liked that I'd like to share with you. Acknowledge your own failures and learn from your mistakes, but don't define yourself by them forever. Acknowledge your failures, learn from your mistakes, but don't define yourself by them forever. Let me rephrase it. Acknowledge your sin and learn from the ways that you miss the mark of what God calls you to be, but don't define yourself by your sins. Rather, define yourself by the grace of God, who is always forgiving and always redeeming. In other words, acknowledge your sins, yes, name them, confess them, but then let go of them, because guess what? God has already let go of them. We are forgiven, and all by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't give us carte blanche permission to just go off and sin and say, well, that's okay, I'm forgiven. I'm going to be forgiven so I can sin. That's not what it's about either. But it's about doing the best we can to be as faithful as we can and as committed to Christ as we can be, living the Christ-like lives that we have been called to live. And knowing that, yes, we fall short of the glory of God. Yes, we miss the mark. But in the end, we are forgiven and given another chance to try again. Isn't that the truth? I want to close with a version of the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to know that I sin by my very human nature. God, grant me the courage each day with each person to try my best to be the faithful person you call me to be. God, grant me the spiritual wisdom to know that by your grace I am forgiven and given another chance. Thanks be to God. Amen.